From the Land de Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report for the 20th day of November 2020. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Naomi Bloom of Total Farm Marketing. She's in West Bend, Wisconsin. Mike Zuzlow is out of the office for the afternoon. We'll also take a look at the weather forecast today in depth with Eric Snodgrass from Nutrien Ag Solutions and Agrible. And it all happens on this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. Find us online at willag.org, or more importantly this week, visit farmdocdaily.illinois.edu. Now, starting December the 1st, I'll be not on the road, but here in the studio, moderating the Illinois Farm Economics Summits. They'll be Tuesday and Friday, and then Tuesday, five in a row, starting December the 1st and running through the 15th of the month at 11 a.m. We'll talk with the ag economist, and they'll make presentations. If you've not signed up yet, this one's free. Visit farmdocdaily.illinois.edu for the Illinois Farm Economics Summits, the 2020 version. Look for the link to IFES, I-F-E-S, the Illinois Farm Economic Summits.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
December corn for the day at $4.23 and a quarter, 0.75 cents higher. The March contract at $4.28 and a quarter, up 1. July corn 0.75 cents higher at $4.30 and 0.75 cents a bushel. And December futures there at $4.08 and a quarter, up 0.5 cents. January beans $11.81, the settlement price up 3.5 cents. The trade session high at $11.96 and 3 quarters. By the way, in the March, $11.81 and a quarter, up 5 and 3 quarters. July soybeans $11.73 and 3 quarters, 6 higher. In November, $10.49 and a half, down a penny and a half. The bean oil futures 15 cents lower for the day. Bean meal up a dollar on the afternoon. Wheat futures soft red. July contract down 1 and 3 quarters, a settlement price at $5.98 and a quarter, and the hard red July at $5.69 and a half, 2.5 cents higher for the day. Live cattle futures, a December contract 15 lower at $108.10, February at $110.65, they were up 12.5 cents. Feeder cattle in the January at $134.60, down 95 cents for the day. The March there at $134.37 and a half, 57 and a half cents lower. And lean hogs December contract up 42 and a half cents, they settled at $64.12 and a half for 100 pounds. Naomi Bloom now joins us from Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, Wisconsin. Hey Naomi, thank you for being with us. It's been a long time since we talked. Glad you're here.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
So tell me, what happened in Chicago for this Friday?
Well, overall, we had a day that started with some nice gains. Boy, that soybean market got real close to the $12 mark. January contract up to $11.96 and 3 quarters. But as the day went on, prices just inched a little bit lower for corn, soybeans, and wheat. Just more ideas of COVID 2.0 still resurging and more cases happening is just putting a little bit of a damper on the market. And some better chances of rain in South America just kind of took the thunder out of the marketplace today.
Any expectations for next week as we head into the Thanksgiving holiday?
Well, usually Thanksgiving is a quieter holiday week. However, with more people staying home and not traveling, I can't help but wonder if more traders are going to be available and watching. So we might actually have some markets with some excitement next week. All eyes continue to be on South American weather forecasts and export demand, number one, first and foremost there. The value of the dollar overall just keeps inching a little bit lower, so that's helpful to the exports. But, you know, right now it just really is dependent on, you know, South American weather and making sure our export pace stays strong.
On that export pace, turn your attention to corn and to China. I think there are some unknowns out there at this point. Likely to be China or not?
Oh, that's what we all think it probably is. Yeah, so two sales today, one sale of corn to Mexico and one sale to unknown destinations. Overall, the corn export sales for the year are not too shabby at all. For the week this week, we had 1 million tons right at the higher end of expectations, and cumulative export sales are actually closer to 60% of USDA projections for the year. This is way above the five-year average pace, more like 37%. So our corn is absolutely in demand on the export front. So that's really encouraging and supportive.
Okay. For those producers who have locked both corn and soybeans away at this point, any reason to open those bin doors up or to make sales if it's in commercial storage?
Well, one thing I would keep in mind, both corn and soybean futures are at some very significant resistance areas on futures charts. Corn at the 425 level, 450, significant resistance above this. And for soybeans to be at $12, this is the best price they've been in about 4 to 5 years. So this is a great opportunity to be making sales. And just remember, going forward, with these significant resistance levels and with as long as the funds are in the marketplace, if we don't see any bad news happen in South America with their production, we might see a little bit of a setback as we head into the end of the month of November, especially with that holiday week next week. So if it was mine, I would still be current with some of those sales because you are at great value and really high price points on the resistance levels on the daily chart. So just really be aware of that.
The bull requires to be fed on new crop. Are you making any recommendations?
You know, a lot of folks really getting started on sales. You've got new crop corn trading near 408 today, new crop soybeans at the 1050 area. Great places to get started with sales because, you know, for the most part, this is the best sales you've been able to start with for a long time. And again, going forward, sure, the fundamentals have truly shifted to friendly and supportive for the bigger picture. But again, if South America has an okay crop, well, it kind of just takes away some of the excitement from the marketplace for a while until we get into our growing season. So it's an okay place to get started, absolutely, with a new crop.
It's all about the weather at the moment and all about the weather in South America, I suppose.
You got it.
Yeah, hey, thank you. I appreciate you being with me today.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It was fun.
That's Naomi Bloom. She is with Total Farm Marketing out of West Bend, Wisconsin. On this Friday, we're joined by Eric Snodgrass from Nutrien Ag Solutions and Agrible to discuss the weather forecast. Hey, thank you so much for being with us. Not bad for the month of November here. A little windy, but gosh, the temperatures are warm.
Yeah, they are warm. And it was quite a changeover from what we saw in October. So even at the beginning of this month, we were actually in record territory for a lot of places here, not only in the Midwest, but in the central plains of the United States. But we got to remember something when we start thinking about warm temperatures, right? Warm for November and December. It's still cold, but it's warmer than average, and it's certainly a far cry from what we had last year. So I'll take it. Although those winds yesterday were quite fierce. In fact, my wife, I was thankful that she had ran an errand because a giant tree branch fell right where she sometimes parks her car in the driveway. So these winds we had yesterday, gusting over 50 miles an hour, were pretty rough.
Do we keep this nice weather for very long and the sunshine more importantly?
Well, I think things are going to be going the opposite direction than what we saw this past week, which was relatively dry. And to be honest, when you look at soil moisture content here in East Central Illinois, going down 3 feet, we're very dry. So we actually do need the moisture and it's going to be coming in. So high pressure that's over us now is sliding over toward the East Coast. That's going to return flow out of the south. And we're going to have a little boundary, a little front that's going to sit over us for a lot of this weekend and really increase rainfall chances. At this point, it looks like the heaviest rain will be south, of I-72 down towards southern Illinois, where, you know, we could be picking up another inch and a half of rainfall here going forward this weekend. And then I'm actually watching two systems next week as well. So there's one that might be skirting through right, Tuesday, Wednesday of next week. Could be bringing some cold rain to us. And I'm not going to say it, but maybe on the backside of that, far northern Illinois might see a couple of snowflakes mixing in. But that'll be the day before Thanksgiving. It looks as though that should clear us out, though, for Thanksgiving, but just going to be a little bit hectic next week and certainly wetter than this week.
Okay, so sounds not too bad. I'm wondering whether the mild pattern that we've had will stick around.
Yeah, so this is what's interesting about La Nina years. They tend to favor more flatter patterns in terms of the jet stream throughout November and December. And so we've got this mild pattern in place. And so what's going on is that there is no Arctic blocking. Here's the idea. If you put over the Arctic a giant ridge of high pressure, that cold air is going to get displaced. It's going to go somewhere. And right now, they don't have that. In fact, it's the opposite. It's cold over Alaska. It's cold over Greenland. And that's where the coldest air on the planet is currently sitting. So we are in between. We get the more relaxed pattern. And what I mean by that is that the jet stream just moves a little bit farther north. And that's because the surface temperatures are warmer than average. So as far out as you will be able to look with some of our best global models, they're going to continue to show 1, 2, 3, 4 degree warm bias going all the way out to mid-December. But remember, it's not going to be warm like that every single day. We're going to have quick shots at cooler air, but it is not going to be the brutally cold start to winter like we had seen in some recent past winters here. So, yeah, we're favoring a milder pattern for a while now.
Given all that, what does the weather forecast look like over the next several months for both North and South America?
Yeah, so when we look at the background state of things, it's going to be driven by La Nina. So when we think about what that might mean for us, and then we look at some of the long-range global models, it tends to favor a much drier southern United States from California all the way over to South Carolina, and a more active storm track through the Ohio River Valley and also in the Northwest, cutting across the U.S.-Canada border. Latest model data, which just came out mid-month here, continues to support that idea. But remember, those events are often punctuated by, you know, a colder outbreak that happens when the polar vortex all of a sudden weakens. And we can't forecast that more than a couple weeks in advance. So remember, those kind of things happen throughout our winter. But it right now favors for North America, especially right around us, more near average temperatures, and also the chances for us to have a little bit more of an active storm track. So we're going to watch that all winter long. South America is a much more interesting story, in my opinion, right now, simply because of what we've seen to start the season. Now, new data is coming in here, and it was showing us that some of the precipitation measurements back at the beginning of November, there was a drier time period in there that has caused a lot of the soybeans to not germinate. And I'm getting reports this week that there's a lot of replanting happening, especially in like Mato Grosso. So we saw that the planting progress numbers shot through the roof and they all of a sudden caught back up to normal. But now we're hearing that maybe 750,000 hectares of land are being replanted. And that's a big number to get replanted. So this is all tightening up the windows in South America. Now, some other research I did this week looked at all of the years since 1980 where we had La Nina-like weather behavior. And in the majority of them, across all of Brazil and Argentina's growing areas, there's a net deficit in precipitation. So what we are going to have to do is watch very carefully over the next couple of weeks, throughout the month of December and into January, what the precipitation patterns look like. Because given what I've been able to see so far, there is more significant downside risk on their total production and yield than there is on the upside. I think that number that they keep tossing out, 132 million metric ton, could be kind of the upper end of what they could get rather than middle of the road, given some of the weather concerns we've got for South America right now. I think the models are going to keep over-promising and under-producing when it comes to the precipitation.
It'll be interesting to watch. What are the things that will give you those indications?
Oh, good question. It's going to be the MJO, all right? So that's the dominant tropical mode of convection or storms. And if it stays over by Australia, Indonesia, we tend to suppress vertical motion over South America. And if we get another surge of this La Nina, that's where it's going to go. And so you put all that together, and it just says that during December especially, there are better chances for more drought risk than there is to having good precipitation. And our long-range models are forecasting that right now. So that's going to be it. And we're going to start to see, I think, some of those numbers peel back if these rains fail to materialize.
Just one note, 750,000 hectares is about 1.65 million acres. So it's a pretty good number. Although, in the larger scheme, we're talking about here in the United States, and I think those are about the same. I can't remember how many acres they plant off the top of my head in Brazil, but something like 90 million probably or thereabouts. So
yeah, I think that would be something like maybe 20% of an Illinois soybean crop.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yeah, yep, yep. That'd be right. That'd be pretty close. All right. Hey, thank you. I appreciate it. We'll talk with you again next week.
All right.
That's Eric Snodgrass from Nutrien Ag Solutions and Agribull joined us here on this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report.